Dawn has returned from China, from a two-week trip, and she has, I'm sure, a heart full and overflowing of things that she wants to share. I had asked Dawn, come on up, Dawn. I had asked Dawn a couple weeks ago, before she left for her trip, if she would consider, after the annual general meeting, coming to talk to us as a church about family, about what family really looks like. Family is part of our DNA here at the church. Dawn has an incredible story about giving family to those who had no family. And I wanted her to share it because I believe that's part of God's message for all of us. There is an orphan spirit in the world. And God has sent the spirit of adoption, crying, Abba, Father, into our hearts. We who were lost, we who were alone, we who were enemies of God because of our sin. He has invited us to be adopted into his family. And Dawn has a story that will illustrate that in the most beautiful way. Dawn, thank you. Would you extend your hands towards her? Father, we pray for our sister. We pray strength as she stands in the pulpit. We pray healing over her. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you've given her and the many years of diligent service. May she speak as the very oracles of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before I start, I just thought I'd show you a few pictures because it's kind of hard to understand, like, what does my family look like? So I thought I would start off just showing you a few pics that I pulled out. This is actually my high school roommate volunteered to go with me. I said to the Lord before I made this trip back, kind of thinking that I needed someone to accompany me. I said, Lord, I can only do this trip if you provide someone to go with me. So I sent out a note to about 18 people that are kind of on my prayer list and who I communicate. And my high school roommate said, hey, I'll go with you. And it was like so unexpected in a way. She comes from a pretty nice life and loves her comforts. And I thought, oh no, what's that going to be like, you know? But she wound up being such an amazing blessing. She was an ENFP, if any of you know what that is, in the Myers-Briggs. She's quite flexible. And so am I. So we got along really well. And, you know, living out of a suitcase for 2 weeks is not easy, but it was amazing how God just made it work for us to be together. She was so involved. I kept saying to her, why don't you go off and take a rest? Why don't you take a break? She said, I don't want to miss anything. And I'm like, oh, you are the right kind of person for this job. Okay, so we'll continue on here. Her name is Frances, by the way. So I arrived back in Nanning after stopping at my old job in Shenzhen, which is right next to Hong Kong. Arrived back in Nanning, my kids had prepared this massive birthday party for me. Now, I totally didn't expect that. In fact, the people in this room are people that I've known in China for the last 27 years. It was like they called everybody out of the woodworks and said, hey, come for this birthday party. And it was just absolutely amazing. Many of my kids came back from all over the place. And they just organized it and planned songs and, you know, just did a great job just expressing their love to me in every way. And so that was like the most amazing part, overwhelming for me, at least part of the trip. Okay, next picture here. And so, yeah, here's birthday party. I'm the queen in the middle there. And I think about 50 some of my kids came, and I have 63, so that was a pretty good number. Some of them were not able to come for different reasons. Maybe they had to still work or whatever, but they all coordinated this time. Okay, next. These are just people that I've known through the years there in the city. Birthday cakes for everybody. Yeah, this one here is the Living Stones birthday cake. You guys are Living Hope, we're Living Stones. So we had our big green, it's supposed to be a tree in the middle of that because that's kind of the symbol of our Living Stones with kind of stones under the tree. You guys have a tree too. That's kind of fun. These are two of my kids that married each other, and that's one of my granddaughters. I have six grandchildren now. This is a pile of jiaozi, if you know what that is. It's dumplings, Chinese dumplings. We made jiaozi for probably about 60 people on New Year's Eve and played Uno until midnight and then had our ears blown off by all the firecrackers. Any of you pyromaniacs, you would love it there. Chinese New Year, you can't even hear the person next to you speaking. And nothing is limited. Like, the whole sky is popping. Okay. This is a little time I have with my kids every year on the first day of the new year. We usually have a big get-together, big dinner, and we all do performances and sing and share in different ways. And then there's other times we get together and talk about different things. This is one of our nights. We were talking about what is family. My big fat slippers. And we always go back to our village. We call it our village. It's the Livingstones Village, where most of my kids grew up. I ran the village for about 8 years, and it was kind of a key time in their lives. For most of them, they were kind of in their pre-teens to late teens. Well, we go back and kind of reminisce. This is one of my boys who's now in seminary, and his desire is not necessarily to study Hebrew, which he's having to do right now, but he really wants to know how to problem solve as a minister of Christ in terms of dealing with big issues in life. And it's hard to find someone who really has the maturity and experience to do that for him. So I'm really praying that God would really raise up somebody for him to be mentored by. We had a time of sharing I prayed for the kids and was able to anoint them with oil. And at the end of what I'm going to say tonight, I'll share with you what I told them. But these are just a few pictures of that. I was amazed at how the kids really just wanted to take it in. God's blessing on them. Yep, Joseph plays the guitar too. So this is our big family dinner we have every year. The food's not great, but we have a good time together. Usually I'm the cook, and it's always cold by the time we eat it. And I only have an oven to cook in, so it's like I have to be creative. That's one of my deaf boys who works in a grocery store. And this is a picture of all of us out at the Livingstones Village. So that's my family. And so I just want to start it off with that so that you could kind of understand a little bit more about what we're talking about here. As I was preparing to go to China, I knew that one of my key reasons for going was to talk with my 63 kids about what is family, specifically that. After knowing and raising these kids for the past 2 decades, why was that important at this point? Of course, many of you know that my breast cancer has metastasized. It's now in my bones. And it's a cause for me to pause and just consider the needs and the future of my kids. I mean, any parent here would do that. For some reason, that's what matters most. So I'm aware my days are numbered, and, you know, it kind of alerts you to kind of preparing for the future, and without any need to, for me, at least in my case, I feel unworried about it, but feel like it's a wise thing to plan. Why would that question be important to Living Hope Family Church? Why does family, or I should say, what does family mean in light of the name of our church? We are Living Hope Family Church. Now, I've kind of always thought it as individual families, but actually we are a family. So what for you is that image of family? Maybe for some of us it's positive, for some of us it's negative. For most of my children, it's kind of an odd thing. Their image of family is kind of a dreamy view of family. It's generally positive, but unfortunately it's quite perfect. Which is not realistic. And they look at what other people have and they think, oh, that's what I'm missing and that's what I long for. And they kind of set family up on a pedestal. That makes it really hard for a family to meet their needs because families are not like that. As orphans, they kind of maybe have some memory of their families, those who have had parents before and remember those relationships. But for others who have been abandoned, there's no memory at all of what a true family is about. So, like, what is a real family then? Is your view of it distorted, or has it been hampered or harmed through the things that you've gone through? One of the things that's really important to my kids as Chinese is like, well, yeah, we're a family, but we don't have the same blood. And that's important to some people, that they're related by blood. And, you know, they just really struggle with that on one hand. And my question is, does that really matter? Does the bloodline really matter? Is that what really makes you a family? Do you really need to be born out of the womb of the person that you call mother to be a true son or a true daughter? So what makes a family? As I was thinking about that, the thing that came to my mind is it's the commitment that's there. And I see family as a choice. It's something we choose to do or be. And so as we look at, you know, as we look at that in terms of my kids, it's something that they need to really consider. Do they want to be a part of this family? Yeah, we all have our kind of oddness to us, right? You look at my kids, oh my goodness, they're all different. They come from different places, they have different looks, they have different disabilities, they have different abilities. But each one of them is different, and you know, they kind of don't always like each other. I mean, those of you who have kids, you fight, don't you? You like sometimes, right? But you know, my kids also do that, and they're kind of clicky with each other. Like, oh, we like these people more than those people, and you know, some of them are annoying, and some of them, you know, seeking attention all the time. And there's like, you've got all different kinds of kids in a family that you kind of want to tame or sit on. And then there's those who are kind of like lethargic and kind of seem like they're missing everything. You know, it just, every family has their differences and different types of people in it. As I look at the church, though, I see, and even as my family, like my children's family, I say to them, what makes you a family is first that God chose you. He chose you, okay? It was his choice. When I went to the 7 welfare centers in Guangxi province, I said to God, who should I choose? Which one of these kids should come and be a part of the Living Stones Village? And God led me to those children that he wanted to be a part of that family. So it was his choice. You know, when we bear our own children, we kind of don't get a choice. We just get what we get, right? You got to deal with that one. But when you get to go out and choose, it makes it a little bit different, doesn't it? And I think, you know, just knowing that God made those choices, I say to them, it was his choice. He chose you. But the question is, do you choose him? That's the first, most important question for all of us as a family. Do we choose him? That's the center around which we all spin. So that's really question number one. The second question is, do you choose each other? Is that something that you are able to do? Can you choose to embrace, accept, work with, or commit to this family? The other thing that's so awesome about this kind of God family that he puts together is that it's not a natural family, it's supernatural. And that makes it pretty special. In fact, in most families, I would say the only way for them to work is if they're supernatural, whether they're natural family or not. Because without Christ, we really can't meet everyone's needs. Without Christ, we really can't do what is necessary in the family to accomplish what God has in store for that family unless we are under his authority, unless he is the head of the house. It has to be that way. So he chooses us, and we choose him, we choose each other. It's a choice that we make, and then we make a commitment in line with that. The other thing that's pretty amazing about God is he not only chooses us, but he adopts us. He goes through the process, a kind of legal process. You know, the legal process for us is that he gives us the stamp of his son's blood. There's a contract that's made through Jesus. And God foreknew, he knew that for many of us, we would need to be adopted. It says in Isaiah 49:15, can a mother forget the baby at her breast or have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she forget, I will not forget you. See, I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. From the time my children are born, or even your children were born, God had his eye on them. In fact, the Bible says he chose them, or us, in him before the creation of the world. And my kids were abandoned by their parents, but chosen by God, which I think is just such a great thing to know, that he doesn't just leave us. He really wants us. Abandoned by their parents, chosen by God. So much for what the enemy wanted. In Ephesians 1:5, it says, in love he predestined them, or us, to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Ephesians 1:11, in him they, my kids, or you, were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Everything. These kids are not only abandoned, but they're disabled. How does God incorporate that into his plan? You know, for those of you who have been wounded by family, hurt by family, abandoned by family, struggle with family, maybe lost your father or your mother, you know, God, here it says he works out everything in conformity with his purpose and will. His will is not limited to those circumstances. It's not hindered or bound or restricted by the things that have happened to us. Our hurt or pain or struggles in life, our lack of whatever it is. In my kid's case, could be lack of a leg or lack of an eye or a hand. But it could be other things as well. You know, they're wounded, kind of the walking wounded. I kind of see my kids as that in many ways. And yet, God is doing amazing things to bring that healing in their lives so that they can really participate in those relationships with others and their family. So after reading these verses, can we say that his plan for my kids is any less than that of those with a real family? No. Is his love for them, or for you for that matter, any less than a parent's love? In Isaiah 59, it says, 49:6, it says, their name and your name are written on the palm of his hands. He planned for us to be adopted, actually, from the very beginning. It wasn't a second thought. It was part of his plan. God adopted each of us, and he knew, like my children, that they would be a hodgepodge of people. We're kind of hodgepodgey. How can we become a family then? As the body of Christ, we're meant to be a family under one head, that is Christ. It is his blood that makes us a family. It's the thing that makes us the same. He's the bloodline. And since we're all washed in his blood, we all kind of have the same, maybe even kind of looks. I guess you could even go that far. Yet we must choose to accept and love one another in the same way that we've been accepted and loved. We need to make this choice as the family and body of Christ. We need to think also more specifically about what that looks like and how family will function. our Living Stones verses, our Living Stones Village verses are these verses here in 1 Peter 2:4. It says, "The living stone was rejected by men and chosen by God, precious to him." Verse 5, "Therefore you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." Verse 9, "You were a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Wow. "Once you were not a people, but now you are a people." So a chosen people, a people belonging to God, God's people. Wow, that's an amazing thing for God to say about us. People in this context is a group of people with all the same past, purpose, and future. So we are a chosen family, and we're a family belonging to God. We're God's family. So how do we be that family? I said earlier that one of the most important things for us to do is to choose God. For us to be a family, we have to have the same head. We have to be listening to the same beat of the drum, I guess you could say. We have to follow the same kind of guidelines, rules, standards that God gives to us. So we choose to love, follow, and listen to him, to obey him. And then we desire to serve and honor him as the Father or the head. We need to be willing to submit to his rules and ways and come under his authority. Shape that relationship with him and others, to shape that relationship with him and others, thus accepting him and his higher ways as the key to our relationship with him as sons and daughters. The second thing we need to do is we need to choose each other. We choose to accept and love each other as he has accepted and loved us in accordance with his commands, laws, and boundaries. The third thing, we must choose what he wants for us together as a people, as a family, so that we are able to function as one body. As people under the head and authority of Christ, we are more likely to be able to function as one body because we all want what he wants. We all get on the same page and desire his will above our own. In my own family, you know, we may not love each other the way that we want to be loved. We may not even at times understand each other. We may have relationship problems and maybe even at times commitment issues. But we choose to find ways to get along and to work out our differences. And we choose to support each other in times of trouble and need. That gets tested again and again, just like in any family. And I must go to God and ask him for help. So it seems that family is what you make it. Family is what you make it. We, like my Chinese children, are an odd group, a melting pot of different temperaments, education, economic levels, cultures, experiences. But today I hope that we can make a choice to embrace and accept the family that God has given us here at Living Hope Family Church, knowing that he has chosen each one of you to be a part of this family. At this time, in this place, in this building, in this city, it's something that he's put together. It's his idea. So what kind of a family ought we to be? How can we function as his hands and his feet? How can we function as the hands and the feet of his body? Of course, this is a supernatural thing. We're created by God, each one doing his or her part in order to, as 1 Peter 2 says, declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. One of the things that I shared with my kids when we went back out to our Living Stones Village was the story of the widow in 1 Kings 4. She goes, I don't remember if it's Elijah or Elijah, but she goes to him and says, you know, my husband was a priest. He was a good man. We're in debt. Someone's coming to take away my two boys as slaves. And I have nothing. And Elijah or Elijah. Elijah says, well, what do you have? Well, she says, I have nothing except a little bit of oil. And I know that for some of you, sometimes in church, you think, oh, I have so much that I need to do every day. I really don't have a lot of extra to give. How can I do this? What does it mean for me? I have my own family. I have my own job. I have all this other stuff going on in my life. How can I also be a part of this family, this bigger family, the church? And I felt that way in China when I was there. I was jet lagged. I just was making thousands of decisions every day. Of course, I was in the process of moving as well. I moved out of my house that I was living in. And just step by step, I just saw God lead again and again. But one morning, I was reading this story, and I was like, God, I have nothing. How can I give all of my 63 kids what they need while I'm here? You know, that's not possible. But you just want to do it. And how can this be? You know, I just have nothing except for a little bit of oil. And this story was so beautiful to me because what happens next is Elijah says, go collect all the jars you can from all your neighbors, bring them into your house, close the door, and start pouring the oil into the jars. And so she does. She goes and she starts pouring the oil into the jars. And I just felt like God was showing me that this was my 63 kids. I had nothing except for a little bit of oil. And that oil was him. It wasn't me. And it was being poured out in all these jars. Every one of those kids was like a jar, and they were getting filled up. And I just thought, oh, God, if that's possible for them to be full by the time I leave here, I'll be so happy. Or at some point in their lives, to know that that's possible. And so we sometimes feel limited in what we can do as a family. We feel we've got too much going on in our lives, but you have a little bit. And it comes from him, and he can pour it out to others in this family that need it. And it's not something that comes from you. It's a supernatural thing. It's generated by him. It comes from him. And it's got everything in it. It's all got all the ingredients of the nutrients and the blessing and the healing that it needs when it comes from him. You know, oil is an anointing thing as well. And it was so amazing that day. Like, all this was just inspired. I had read the story a few days before we went out to the village, and then it was like the kids said, hey, share something with us, and they're all lined up in their rows. We were just reenacting our Livingstone's village days. Each kid was lined up according to their room number, you know, so like they're all lined up here, and we're kind of reenacting this whole thing because they still like to go back and go through all that, you know, even the ones who are in their 30s, and they say, well, what do you want to share with us? I'm like, oh, my goodness. Well, at the end of saying that, my dear friend comes up to me and she says, I've got some oil. And the Lord had said to me, you need to anoint their heads with oil. But I thought, where's the oil? And here she had the oil. It was lime oil. I don't really know if that matters. It smelled good. But God said, okay, pray these three things for each child. Number one, that they would be healed. Number two, that they would be filled with his love. And number three, that they would be blessed. And it was just such an amazing thing how God put all those pieces together, because like I said, I'm just like barely making it through every day, you know. But in the midst of that, God's strength is there. No pain, by the way. Zero pain until I was on my way back to Shenzhen to pack up my apartment, which took three full days of grueling torture. Thousands of decisions, keep it, throw it away. But praise God for that. He sustained me in that. And that little oil went as far as it could. Usually when I leave my kids, I think, oh, I didn't do enough. I forgot to speak to that child. What about this situation I'm leaving behind? It hasn't been attended to. Oh, Lord, please take care of that matter. So I just want to encourage you to know that you have what he has to give you to be the family that he's created in this place at this time. May God bless us.
Dawn, stay here just a second. I want to just thank the Lord for this wonderful woman. Dawn, I just God, we love you. We just love you. Amazing. My sister. We are so proud of you, and we are so proud to be associated with you in this family. And I feel so deeply stirred in my heart with this concept. Dawn is a living example of somebody whose hope is set on something greater than her circumstance. Is that not a picture of the gospel for us? The Bible does not promise us that we will not go through trouble. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. The gospel message that we have is not that God saves us from trials, but that God saves us out of our trials. And Dawn is in the middle of her own battle, her own steadfastness, notwithstanding. She is in a battle for her very life. And yet, for her, what is much more important is the will of the Father, doing God's will, which for all of us is a testament. It's a challenge. I wanted her to stand here in front of you. I wanted you to hear her because I know we're all watching. All of us are praying for Dawn. We love her. We're praying for her. We're praying for her well-being. We're watching to see what God is going to do. And regardless of what God's going to do with you physically, Dawn, we are amazed at what God has done through you with this incredible ministry in China. But how profound and how perfect for us as a family, even with the announcement that I made this morning, that God wants to put together a family here, His family. Part of what we've done at Living Hope Family Church is we've cultivated an environment where people are welcome here. Broken people can find healing here and not judgment. If there's any judgment, it's the judgment that God has declared you righteous by faith. Isn't that it? Dawn's example shows us what can be done and what God wants to do. And the kids that she rescued, that God rescued through her and put into families, on first observation, you may look and see disabilities, but God doesn't see that. God doesn't see the disability. God sees the opportunity. God sees the individual. He loves them. He cares about them. And He sees what powerful witnesses they can be for His grace. And that's exactly the same. Take a look around you. There are not famous people here. There are not super wealthy people here. There are not super smart people here, except for Mike. We've got people here who are weak, but through us, God is strong. And I want to invite you to be a part of God's family, whether it's part of this family here at 46 Mitchell's Way for the time being, or a part of some other expression of God's family, whether it be another church down the street or not. I want to invite you to be a part of God's eternal family by making the decision to say, yes, Lord. God wants you to be a part of His family, and He's willing to adopt you, but there's only one thing that stands between you and being a part of His family, and that's your choice. That's it. Your choice. You get to decide. See, Jesus has come not only to rescue you out of abandonment, but it's actually a little worse than that. Your situation is a little worse than that. You're not just an innocent, abandoned baby that God wants to take in and raise. You are, in fact, the one who has abandoned. You are, in fact, the one who is chosen happily to live in the darkness. That's what makes the gospel message so much more powerful, is that God reaches out to us not just because we are weak, but because, and in spite of, the fact that we are unworthy. The miracle of the gospel is that in this gospel we find forgiveness for our sins. We don't just find a place at the table, but we find a place at the table with honor and dignity restored. Because God forgives us. And I want to invite you right now to make that a part of your determination. Whose family are you a part of? Because if you're out there just in the darkness, the truth is there is a Father who wants to claim you, and His family is not where you want to be. He's the father of lies. He's the one who's lied to you all your life and whose temptations you followed. And He would have you destroyed in fires of judgment, just as He will be destroyed in the fires of judgment. But the good news is that Christ has not left you there. Come and find forgiveness. Would you bow your heads? Father, we pray Your grace upon everyone here. May the message of family stir up inside of our heart a yearning and a desire to be accepted and to accept others in Christ's name. We ask You, Lord, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, adopt us, look beyond our disabilities, and let us be supernaturally empowered by the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be Your witnesses and a testimony unto You for Your kingdom's sake in all the earth. Thank You, Lord, for Dawn and for her family in China. Bless them, Lord. And bless Dawn as she embarks upon this new season of her life right here in Jesus' name. Amen.